place to go. Have no place to go, darling. Have no place to go.
Have no place to go. 5:10. You know, the Blackhawks Christmas party is Monday. It's going to be more like a MASH unit. Good God, they can't stay healthy. Last night, the Hawks lose 5-1 to Vegas.
Nash Vegas.
To Vegas. And Vegas, outside of a game, have had their number since the franchise existed. But Ole Mata is walking around with flu-like symptoms and some mystery disease that nobody knows what it is, illness. DeHaan goes out last night. We don't know for how long.
Shoulder injury.
Duncan Keith is still out.
Yep.
So if you'd like to play defense for the Hawks, they could use you right now.
Yeah, they were down to five defensemen last night, and it kind of showed. There were a couple other guys that were playing a little extra minutes. Maybe they didn't expect to, like the youngster Adam Boqvist. And, Corey Crawford wasn't exactly pleased with how things turned out last night.
Was he bad in there and mad in the postgame?
Well, I don't think he was mad in the postgame. You could just kind of see after the, I believe it was the third goal that went in, he picked up his stick and was ready to swing it like a left-handed batter.
Yeah, I go, can I get a little help back there?
Exactly right.
They're just beat up. They are really, really beat up. And, to get healthy and get right is not going to take place overnight, and they got to get going.
Yeah.
So, tough situation.
It's not early anymore, as we've discussed.
In baseball, why am I starting with sports? Well, because I want to. In baseball, you're our baseball guru.
Mm-hmm.
You got an addition and a subtraction, maybe.
Yeah, that's true. With as far as Chicago teams are concerned, though, the White Sox got a right fielder yesterday, a left-handed bat, Nomar Mazara.
He's a big dude.
Yeah, 6'4", 200-pounder, and he hit a ball 505 feet this year in Arlington, a game I was calling against Reynaldo Lopez. 505 feet to the second deck in right field.
Yeah.
Left-handed batter. So, I mean, that addresses a need. I'm not sure they're done. Let's put it that way. And then Chris Bryant may be on the move. There's a lot of teams that are said to be very interested in acquiring his services from the Cubs. So
you see that as a good move or a bad move?
I see that as a bad move. Even if.
Pay the money, keep him.
Well, even if the arbitrator, the big holdup is the arbitration, because he filed a grievance about how the Cubs kept him down for the 17 days to keep him for the extra year. So when that arbitrator comes out with his decision, he'll either be a free agent after this year or after next. It just kind of depends on how the arbitrator goes. So there's some teams that are scared away by that. And I think the Cubs are the more scared about it than anybody, because if it's a free agency after this year, they'd rather trade him and get something for him.
Is there a third baseman somewhere in the Cubs pipeline that makes sense?
Well, I mean, Nico Horner's the young guy that's been a third baseman in his career. And, Javi Baez has played there as well, if you have another shortstop to talk about. I mean,
keep in mind,
it would be a big hole.
The distance between Ron Santo and Ron Say.
Yeah.
And then big. Ron Say and Aramis Ramirez.
It's huge.
Yeah. So
it's a vast wasteland.
I don't know.
Yeah, so they're going
to. Super Joe, would you get rid of Chris Bryant? I know you're a White Sox fan, but would you get rid of Chris Bryant?
Yeah, I'd trade him to the South Side.
Oh, you would? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. That seems rational.
It's a good idea.
We don't want him to go.
No, he's a nice fella. Newly married, right?
Yeah, newly married.
Aren't they having a baby?
Chris Bryant, are they?
I don't know. I thought I heard that, but maybe I didn't hear that.
I'm not having a baby.
Yeah,
Chris
I'm not
Bryant.
Either.
No, they're married, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Chris Bryant and his wife.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might be the case.
I got confused. Steve, how are you?
Doing very well this morning. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. It's kind of chilly out there today.
It's super cold and it sucks. Chicago Police Department changing it up. Charlie Beck, the interim superintendent, changes something that's been around for a long time. And our pal Nancy Liu joins us. Nancy, how you
hey
been?
There, Steve.
How you been getting up at this hour for so long and looking so great? I mean, I've been doing it for 2 weeks. I look like I died.
Oh, come on. It's not that bad. I actually am a morning person. I am a very strange bird. I have a very set routine. And for some reason, I prefer this shift.
Yeah, there's something wrong with you. We're going to have you checked.
You know what? I do joke with my friends that I'm a premature senior citizen.
Right. So what time do you go to bed?
I go to bed around 7:30, 8.
So yeah, 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock is late.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I usually am lights out by 8 o'clock.
Well,
pretty exciting.
You always look wide awake and ready to rock. And all right, so tell us about this story with the CPD.
Yeah. Well, WGN, we obtained the letter that Charlie Beck sent out to the rank and file. It's, as you know, it's 13,400 people within the police department. I'm going to read it off very quickly because it's a very short letter. He said, "Dear members, while I was pleased to see that many of you have registered to take the sergeant promotional examination on Saturday, I continue to hear that members have had have been dissatisfied and discouraged by the merit promotion system. Therefore, in consultation with Mayor Lightfoot and Fraternal Order of Police President Kevin Graham, I decided that I will not make any merit promotions during my tenure as interim superintendent. I will also recommend that my successor not utilize the merit promotion system and that the department hold promotional exams every 2 years in the future. Thank you and stay safe, Charlie Beck." Very short, but very clear in saying that the merit promotion system is on ice for the time being.
So that's not to say that those who have received merit promotions couldn't pass the exams in the past, but in some cases, maybe most cases, didn't have to take them because based on relationships, they were promoted.
Yep, and that was the system. So they, you know, not necessarily took the exam, not necessarily did well on the exam. And as you may know, this system started in the 1990s with then Mayor Richard M. Daley. And according to the Trib, you know, back then he had said that it was to promote diversity to the supervisory ranks, bring more people of color into the upper ranks. And, you know, Mayor Daley noted that there were a lot of ambitious people who did not test well.
Right.
So,
right. Well, that's a fair consideration, but just to make it a blanket policy, I guess, has caused the problems that led to Beck's decision. So are we getting any closer on a superintendent, or is it too early to know?
Well, you know, the police board is, that's the process that's ongoing. Mayor Lightfoot had said that, you know, she hopes to start talking with people next month. And hopefully, you know, we will have a new top cop in place early next year. But clearly, Charlie Beck is the interim, and it certainly seems like he's making some tough decisions while he's there. And possibly that's why Mayor Lightfoot wanted an outsider to come in and make some tough decisions while he's here.
Yep, without a doubt. Great stuff as always. I know you got to go do some more TV. Thanks for coming on, and thanks for telling me your schedule.
Have a great day.
There you go. That's Nancy Liu from WGN TV. I don't. Let's go around the room. What time do you go to bed when you do this show, Andy?
It's impossible for me to go to bed before 10 o'clock.
Yeah?
I had to watch a little Hawks game last night, too.
Yeah, and that started at 9. Yep. Mary Vandeval?
9 o'clock.
Yeah, that's where I am.
Yeah, I usually get about 6.5.
Steve?
I'm in bed by 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock, yeah.
It's very tough to do, but I start turning out some lights at about 6 o'clock and then make myself sleepy. And by 8 o'clock, I force myself now to go to bed and generally fall asleep. So,
man.
And then I'm up at 3 o'clock.
So let me grab this call. This is somebody from the Chicago Police Department. They want to remain anonymous, which is fine. And we'll work in the department. All right. So you heard Nancy Liu reporting on that story. What's your take on this?
I did. Just for clarification, when it comes to the merit part of any promotional exam, they have to take part one. It's pass-fail. There's no score given. It's just they take their time in figuring out what number to get the most applicants through the passing process. And then part two, they don't even have to take and then can be meritoriously promoted. And we have people that have been meritoriously promoted their entire career and not scored. Well, promoted on their own.
So it's an unfair system.
No, definitely.
So definitely. You support what Beck's done here. Would you say the majority of your colleagues feel the same way?
Yes, absolutely.
So let's level the playing field and move on from here. What about the idea of promoting men and women of color? Has that happened? Is there diversity in the ranks?
I believe so. I think it's gotten better. The initial goal of when they brought merit in, I think got bastardized, if I can say it.
Yeah, sure.
I think what the initial goal was intended to be was probably in and of itself a noble idea.
Sure.
But as it's manifested over the years, it's just, it has become a laughing stock where, you know, some individuals, again, have made meritorious bumps to every promotion that they've gotten. And, you know, there's people that are, you know, studying and busting their humps and working two jobs and taking care of families. And, you know, they may not score as well, but because they don't have the political ties or, you know, they're not somebody's guy, you know, they're screwed.
Well, and also common sense would dictate that if you can't pass certain exams, we would be concerned at the public that are you ready for a promotion to manage other people that could.
I would second that thought also, yes.
So, all right, man, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep, fine.
There you go, 525. Can you imagine if we had to take tests to advance here? Like, this show is the big money show on the station, okay? So let's say when I was doing afternoons before I got fired back in 2010, and I had to take an exam to get the morning show.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't study till the last minute, and then I'd cram, like, at midnight.
Sounds like what I did.
What would the questions even be?
How do you feel about getting up at 3 a.m.?
So I'm probably the only one among us that did have to take an exam for my first job.
What kind of exam?
I did.
So at when I was at WBBM, yeah. When I was being hired, I had to take a current events quiz.
A news test.
A detailed current events quiz that one of the questions was, where is Sox Park? Where is Wrigley Field? What are the streets? What's the address? Who are the senators? Who are the lawmakers? Who name two aldermen? Name, you know.
Were you put in a room to take this?
I was, yeah. And my
did you have your phone?
I did not. No, my hiring was
nobody had a phone
reliant.
Back then.
Yeah, we didn't have phones back then.
Vivian, you're 26. You worked at WBBM. Did you have to take some sort of test when you worked there as well?
Yes, I did.
Same kind of thing.
So it's not as it wasn't exactly the same. No.
Well, what type of questions do you remember?
I remember, where do you get your news? And questions like that.
Well, that's more personal, though. They didn't ask you knowledge questions?
Well, I don't even really remember. This was 4 years ago.
Now, Pam Jones, who's here in our newsroom this morning, she's also a former WBBMer. She had at TV. She had to take a similar test at TV.
What kind of sweatshop are they running over there?
I took a test as well when I applied for a job back then, but I ended up somewhere else. But
this is at CBS? At
BBM? BBM. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I might have taken one at MAQ as well.
Let me tell you something. We'll hire any stooge here. No test at all. Good morning. Hello. Hi there, sunshine. You look good this morning. Come here. Come here. You come here. It's going to be a good day. I hug the listeners every morning, Andy. I don't want to make you uncomfortable.
No, it was good. I mean, it was making me a little jealous.
Made Orion uncomfortable, I'll tell you that right now. That's the legend is standing by with an agribusiness report.
Good morning. We returned from a very rainy Washington late yesterday afternoon before the announcement had been made by Speaker Nancy Pelosi that her concerns about the North American Free Trade Agreement revision, she said her concerns have been taken care of, and she said we'll go ahead and bring it to a House vote. And at the same time, there was a signing ceremony in Mexico City, as top officials from Canada, Mexico, and the U.S. signed again a fresh overhaul of that quarter-century-old trade agreement that aims to improve enforcement of worker rights and hold down prices for biologic drugs by eliminating a patent provision. The event at the National Palace was attended by Mexico President Manuel López Obrador, Canadian Deputy Prime Minister Chrystia Freeland, U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer, and U.S. White House Advisor Jared Kushner. However, now a new wrinkle to swift ratification in the United States. As Mitch McConnell said, the Republican-controlled Senate would not take up the deal before a congressional recess, potentially pushing the vote into next year. The interesting trading world never ends. Soybean futures firmed yesterday, sixth consecutive session of higher prices. Corn futures also edged higher, and the report that Chinese buyers booked at least 300,000 tons in U.S. soybean purchases on Monday. That's agribusiness. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Who'd like a couple of Costco tips for shopping? Business Costco tips for the holidays.
I'll take some.
All right. Did you know you don't need a membership to get in?
Did not know that.
I did not know that. Wait, how, what?
You go out and buy a $5 gift card anywhere. You know where they sell gift cards? Your $5, you just flash your gift card at the entrance and you're in.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, a gift card gets you in. Now, if you're going to Costco 10 times, that's $50. Get the membership. Genius. But that's a way to get in. Another way to get in where you don't need a membership is if you fill prescriptions. Now, this is the honor system. So if you walk in and say you need to fill a prescription, the person at the front will point you to the pharmacy. But if they see you rolling out with a giant cart full of stuff, they may not be as happy. But again, Costco's making money off you, so why not? Best time to shop at Costco. When do you think that is?
When it's closed.
Yeah.
Well, if you could get in, then I wouldn't recommend it.
I don't have a membership. Is that place open 24/7?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
No, it's kind of reasonable hours.
Well, then 4 o'clock in the morning.
I'd say 1 o'clock p.m. at weekday afternoons.
Saturday afternoon at noon. No.
No.
The best time to shop is Tuesday and Wednesday mornings.
Hmm.
Because they've restocked fresh for the week and there's less people in there. This one should be obvious, but avoid the end caps. The end caps are where they're highlighting items they want to move. The prices are generally good, but not necessarily as great as what might be down the aisle. The Kirkland brand, that's the Costco brand, continues to be awarded again and again and again by consumer groups as being as good or better than the brand items we pay more money for. I'll give you an example. Duracell batteries, not cheap. Duracell's been around a long time. You know who makes Kirkland batteries? Duracell.
Uh-huh.
Same company. And the same ingredients. You read the side of a battery. Oh, they don't have another battery, do they? So there's a couple of just quick little Costco tips for you. A little help getting in.
It's good knowledge.
Pharmacy for a gift card. Walk right in the front door. And obviously you can get gas if you have a membership. I'll tell you what, that membership, you pay for that. $50 membership, you're going to save that in gas pretty quickly.
In one fill-up.
So, the Boeing company has had a very rough year with the 737 MAX, and our friend Cynthia McFadden from NBC sat down with a whistleblower from Boeing, someone who worked at Boeing for quite some time, was a military man, got a job at Boeing, was thrilled with it, and then got very nervous about what was going on in the factory. In the midst of my conversation with Cynthia yesterday, by the way, as she rode the train from Washington to New York, so she's a trooper, she was talking on the train. We talked about a number of things, including, check out this statistic.
They were only getting planes out on schedule less than 10% of the time. You can imagine the pressure that senior managers were then putting on the workforce to speed things up. Ed Pearson says, listen, that pressure created a culture in which I observed, and there are records to show, that potential safety errors were being baked into these planes, so to say. Not just the MAX, but the entire 737 fleet being built at that time. And I just want to say, you know, there are several hundred, you know, we know the MAX is grounded. But there are several of those 737s built during that period. But Pearson just says, listen, they need to have a safety check. What if I'm right? So that's what he's going to say to the Transportation Committee. And he thinks a check should be made.
So the one thing that really struck me, too, about him, this is a big, tough guy. And he was very emotional talking to you and has an incredible amount of guilt about not speaking up sooner or maybe not speaking up enough. Did you have that sense?
Yeah, I mean, he said, I mean, he had written his first letter to the man who supervised the 737 program, his first email, 4 months before the Lion Air crash. And he said the day he heard that plane had gone down, you know, he wept. He said, I just thought maybe I could have done more. And then after that happens, he escalates. He writes to the CEO of the company. He goes to the general counsel of the company. He even writes to the board of directors, every single one of them, a special separate email. He got no reply from the board, and 19 days later, the second 737 MAX went down.
Unbelievable.
You know, it's
heartbreaking.
You know, and I think we have to be exquisitely clear about what he's saying and what he's not saying. He is not saying that he can prove that these planes went down as a result of problems on the factory floor. But what he's saying is we need to look at this. The leap to saying, oh, it was just a software problem, he says, you know, doesn't really relay the full extent of what he feels is going on. And I think, you know, we'll see what the House Committee has to say. I mean, it's pretty amazing, though, because when he reached out to the FAA, they basically said, thanks, no thanks. NTSB basically said, not our job, not our jurisdiction. And he never heard back from the Department of Transportation. You know, he's represented by a lawyer named Eric Havian, who does nothing but represent whistleblowers. And he's represented hundreds over the last 25 years. He's taken Ed's case pro bono because he thinks it's so important that people hear what he has to say. And he said, I, in my 25-year career doing this for a living, have never encountered the kind of regulatory blindness and deafness I've encountered in this case. I said to him, what do you think is going on? Is Boeing too big to fail? Is Boeing too big to regulate? And he said, look, I can only tell you that there's something that I don't understand going on here.
And listen, this is a guy who left a job he loved until he didn't and decided to retire on August 2018. Another quote he gave you, he said, I felt like I was abandoning the Titanic.
Yeah, and he said, you know, listen, he lives in the heart of Boeing country out on the West Coast, you know. He has 5 kids. He said, this has been hard. This has been hard because I have friends and family who, you know, love Boeing. I love Boeing, but I want to hold it to a higher standard. Right. So using public sources, Ed Pearson has assembled a list, besides the 2 catastrophic crashes, of 13 other incidences where 737 MAXs had a safety issue.
Wow.
Now, some of them look to be rather, I mean, I'm not an expert, but we've had some experts look at it. Some of them may not be of a catastrophic nature. In one instance, a Norwegian airliner had to make an emergency landing in Iran. In another, the jet lost its right engine upon takeoff. I mean, there are some concerns here. And if these are accurate, and we've been able to document using public sources that these all occurred, that's 4% of the 737 MAXs that were produced during this period.
That is, I mean, that's another incredible statistic. And look, the bottom line is here, this is what great reporting does. It gives an opportunity for Mr. Pearson to come out and talk about this, alerts the company that a lot is known here and lives could be saved. So as always, Cynthia McFadden, my appreciation for you gets bigger and bigger, especially doing this interview on a train.
This is fun. I got another hour. Let's keep talking.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. We could do a whole series of train interviews where we only talk while you're on the train. But let's remind people where they can see this. NBCNews.com is the best spot, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, we've posted it up on our Twitter accounts. But go to NBCNews.com.
And thank you to Cynthia McFadden. Meanwhile, Ed Pearson is the Pearson and the Ed we spoke of, the whistleblower. Steve, you got a market outlook for me?
I do. Here's some of the things that could move the markets on this Wednesday, December the 11th. Of course, we'll see the Federal Reserve's decision on interest rates today following a 2-day meeting. Largely expected that interest rates will be remain unchanged. The Federal Reserve chairman will have a news conference after that announcement a little bit later this afternoon. Inflation figures for November are due today. Analysts are forecasting a gain of 0.1% over October. They see inflation rising 1.9% over November of last year. We'll see that report at about 7:30 Chicago time this morning. So a few things that could move the markets on Wednesday, December the 11th.
When we come back, bingo, controversy, Vandeveld.
And let me remind you as well that the market outlook sponsored by Associated Bank.
Vandeveld, bingo, controversy. It's not actually a part of Mary, but I have a bingo story for you.
Oh, good.
So a Louisiana man named John Cook, Mary Vandeveld, was arrested for manipulating a Bonanza bingo game where he was the ball picker. Seems he was picking the balls out in a particular order and then pocketing when he wanted as the winner and then putting the winner in when he wanted it. Someone was playing a card for him. And he won a whole bunch of money for his family and for him until he got caught on video, and now he's in jail.
That's terrible.
So here's what I'm wondering. You do the bingo at the nursing home when?
I do it at the Brookdale home in Glen Ellyn. Saturdays at 11.
Now, a lot of those folks probably don't have the same, you know, vision they had when they were younger.
Yeah.
So you're calling the numbers?
Yeah, but it's in one of those spinners, you know, the little orbs.
Yeah.
So it spins around, lands on a thing, comes out. Once in a while, they drop on the floor. You know, I got to pick them up.
Steve, we may need an I-team investigation here because Mary Vandeville could easily manipulate that game, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm thinking there might be a little bit of graft going on here. I don't know. We just maybe get Ben Bradley and the investigative team on this.
It's not really a matter of if she's doing it. It's a matter of how often.
Well, you know, my aunt does win quite often. No.
So basically what you're saying is a family member, you fix it for a family member to win, and then you share the profits.
Yeah, and then she takes me out to lunch.
Oh, so it's all about lunch.
Yes, all about lunch.
Let's find out what Vandeveld's driving. If she rolls in a new Tesla, we'll know something's going on at the home.
Can you handle in a Tesla?
If I was winning at bingo, I wouldn't be here.
What do you mean? You wouldn't enjoy getting up coming in?
Yeah. They only play with quarters.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's only quarters to you.
Yeah.
To them, it's a fixed income and it's dinner. Hope you're happy. Coming up on 6 o'clock after 6 on the show, Karen Conti will give us some legal advice. Of course, we have your top 6 at 6. Later, Bella Gandhi on, well, the cuffing period of relationships between Thanksgiving
season.
And cuffing season between Thanksgiving and Valentine's Day in the Antioch Community High School choir coming up. And this morning's celebrity Christmas card by phone is Donald Trump. Yeah, the Trumpster will be on. Well, let's play a quick round of You Must Pick One. We'll get to the top 6 at 6 coming up. 611 Steve Cochran Show. This is show number 1500. 1500.
Go nuts, everybody.
Zero.
Oh, yeah.
Woo-hoo.
Where's our new hats? You said you were getting us new hats.
1500 hats.
I'll get those 1500 hats by the 2000 show. Yeah. So congratulations to all. Thank you for all the fine work you've done. Show number 1500 is on the air. All right, so you must pick one. You know how this works? I give you three stories. You must pick one. You can pick at least one, okay? But you must pick one. Another new entry in the word of the year for 2019. That's story number one. Story number two. What's that? What's that smell? That's story number two. Story number three. An update on the butt slapper from the bridge run in Savannah. That story that I was ranting about the other day. Remember the reporter on the bridge? She got her butt slapped.
Oh, yeah.
Steve?
You know, I love a good sniff story. Smell story. So let's do the sniff story.
One vote for sniff. Mary?
Yeah, since we have a clogged toilet this morning, I'm going with the sniff.
By the way, I hate this topic. I hate talking about this.
I'm sorry. I brought it up.
Here's the deal. Apparently sometime yesterday, somebody had a problem in the bathroom. They then put a sign on the door. This is the main bathroom in the actual studio section of the building.
One I refuse to use.
There's two in
the
bathrooms
disc jockey
down
bathroom.
The hall.
That's what I call it.
Yeah, it's the bathroom where we go, where we have to go in a hurry. Yeah. So
here's the deal. The sign on the door says, use other toilet, this one clogged. You can't write the words out of order on it so I'm not nauseous when I walk by it?
I know. That was the first thing I saw this
out
morning.
Of order. And by the way, apparently nobody told building operations, we're going to need a little help on 18.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I'm done with the rant.
And it's a priority, too.
You need to look at your diet if you're damaging a toilet at work.
Two for sniff. Andy?
I'm going to make it a three.
All right, well, that's sniff. The majority right there.
Let's sniff.
The story comes from a high school, or is it, in fact, a middle school? It's in Florida, as all weird news is. A Manatee County school bus had to be evacuated after students complained of a noxious smell. Turns out it wasn't a bus driver, and it was the middle school, Buffalo Creek Middle School. The smell got so bad, the bus had to be pulled to the side of the road, and another bus had to be brought up to take students home. After an investigation, it turned out that the Axe body spray in one of the backpacks of one of the boys went off and couldn't be shut off.
Oh.
I got
too
a great
much
story about
Axe
that.
Body axe. Spray.
Axe attack.
Now, here's my story after your story. Go ahead.
All right.
Okay, good.
Well,
it's stupid stuff you do when you're in middle school.
Well, this was regarding Axe body spray. This goes back to like 2002 or 3 when I was in the booth with Ron Santo, and it was, you know, a pretty sticky summer day at Wrigley.
Sure.
You know, I mean,
sure.
Air conditioning in that
sure.
booth. So I took out a little Axe body spray, sprayed it a little bit because I didn't want to smell badly, and he whirled around so fast, goes, "What is that smell?" That is the worst I've
And then he threw you out of the booth?
He just kept going, yeah. I was about to go headlong out the front of the booth.
I don't think you're. I think you're too old for X body spray.
Well, now I am. Then I wasn't.
Yeah. These dark circles under my eyes have been there for a long time. Okay, forever. So I'm 12, 13 years old, and my mother uses oil of Olay to get rid of age spots.
Yes.
Okay. I think if it works on age spots. Put it under my eyes. So I took some of the cream and put it under my eyes. My eyes blew up like I was having some sort of blowfish attack, and I missed 2 days of school.
Now for some more news. Ready?
Welcome to the Top 6 of 6.
What?
On the Steve Cochran Show.
That is great radio.
This is your first look at what people, animals, and assorted fruits and vegetables will be talking about today.
Item number one, you Uber, you Lyft. Well, you're going to have to wait for more safety. They're promising more safety initiatives, but Chicago's going to have to sit back and wait for Verify Your Ride, a feature that had started in seven cities yesterday. The feature, which involves riders receiving a unique four-digit PIN to provide to drivers, is only being used so far in Atlanta, Nashville, Sacramento, Phoenix, Dallas, Denver, and Philadelphia, but not in bigger markets like Chicago and New York. The driver will only be able to start a trip once the correct PIN has been entered. It's good. It's a good safety thing. So now you're stuck with the name thing, what you want to do. Because, Andy, you're the creep driving the car.
Yeah.
And I'm a young woman, and I'm about to get into the car.
Yeah.
Well, let's say my name is Vicky.
Okay, Vicky.
So if I come up to you and I say, are you Bob, my driver?
Of course I am.
Right. You're the creep.
Mm-hmm.
But if I come up to you and say, what is your name?
It's Andy.
Oh, and it matches on the the Uber or the Lyft, and I'm going to get in your car.
Cool. It's good. It is good.
It's a bad roll of the dice, if you're Andy the pervert, and I got in the wrong
car.
Very true. Yeah. Okay. Next, Chicago Police Interim Superintendent Charlie Beck said yesterday he is suspending the department's practice of promoting officers to the ranks of detective, sergeant, and lieutenant, regardless of how they score on exams. It halts a promotional process since the 90s, long criticized by many rank-and-file cops called merit promotions, and the rank-and-file seems to be pleased that this move has been made. Next! Tonight, it's markup night. Ooh, who's going to watch C-SPAN with me as the House gets together to mark up the impeachment articles from the bill? What kind of snack should we get, Steve, for our big impeachment articles viewing party?
You know, I'm a big fan of that popcorn with, like, chocolate on top of it.
Oh, yeah, it's good. Yeah. And I'll get some Bugles.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Oh, yeah.
How about some NyQuil?
Maybe some Orange Crush.
Yeah, and Hawaiian Punch. Yep.
Boy, I think I'd rather go to boot camp.
They talk about it tonight. They mark it up tonight. They vote as soon as tomorrow, if not Friday, but they will have a vote soon. I mean, it could be pushed to Monday. But trust me when I tell you, these clowns are going to be out of Washington by this time next week. Maybe Thursday. But the end of next week is when they want out. And if somebody slows it down, there's going to be some ugliness going on because they want to go on Christmas break. Mitch McConnell has already said that the Senate will take this up in the month that doesn't exist, Stephen. What month is that?
January.
And I say it doesn't exist. Why?
Because there's a calendar that Mitch McConnell put out, and January, there's no month of January on it.
It's not on the calendar.
No.
It's not there. That's it. It's not on the calendar. Next. Let's do a little sports here. The tape the Patriots shot at the Bengals game, their latest bit of cheating, includes 8 minutes of the Bengals sideline, including specific play signals and play calls.
Yeah.
But it was an accident.
Yeah, because it was during the taping of a show.
It was a misunderstanding, Andy. Why can't you trust the Patriots?
Because the Patriots can't be trusted.
And again, this is the 72 presidential election all over. Nixon and Watergate brought down the White House over an election where he won 49 states. The Patriots were playing the friggin' Bengals and they cheat. It's this weekend, right?
That's
the game?
Yeah.
Okay. Next. According to a new survey, half of consumers surveyed on their 2019 holiday shopping said they prefer experiences rather than gifts. Activities like dining out, traveling, entertainment, jumping out of a plane, being thrown out of a plane.
Those aren't cheap.
They aren't cheap. No, experiences. The race car thing. You know,
adventures.
You can go out to Joliet and you can drive a race car. An adventure like meeting someone on a blind date and trying to get out of the blind date. Those type of things. So experiences are very big. Anybody got a website they'd tout for that? There are websites that sell experiences. No?
I'd be afraid to try to find out.
312-981-7200 if you have an idea. And finally, Chipotle is getting in the holiday spirit by giving away free food through Friday. Chipotle is dropping free burrito codes every day on Instagram. The first 500 people to text the code to 888-222 get one free entree.
And all you have to do is give up your mobile phone number.
Yep. Yeah. It's database collecting.
Don't do it.
Yeah. I have a burner phone for every phone number I have to give up. Yeah, you can get burner phone apps online everywhere. And I highly recommend this. You get a burner phone, and you give out that number for any place you have to have a number, and all of the spam and crap goes there. Huh?
You're welcome. So when you open up the app, then all of the messages from that number go to that app?
Yeah, and you can see the messages if you want. Yeah, or you could just go get a burrito. It's 6:23. We'll take our last break. We got some info. Hold on. We got an Uber driver. Stand by. John, you're an Uber driver? John, are you with me? John, are you with me?
Hello.
There you are.
Yes, I'm an Uber driver. When a person orders an Uber on their phone, it will show them not just the driver's name, but a picture of the driver, a picture of the car, the make and model of the car, the color of the car, and the license plate number. So you have to be incredibly stupid to get into the wrong Uber car.
Well, we got a lot of...
Or incredibly drunk.
Yeah, we got a lot of drunks out there, John. And who's to say... You saw the movie Face Off. Who's to say you don't go to an exact duplicate car at a duplicate face? I don't know, John. I don't know. No, I understand what you're saying completely.
And they also... they were having a problem with Uber drivers, like, letting their friends drive for them.
Oh.
They periodically make... Uber periodically will stop you in the middle of your driving and say, take a selfie to prove that you are... The person driving the car is the person whose picture and information they have on file.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Love that.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So they verify the driver, and it's random, you say.
Yeah, I've been driving Uber for 5 years. They've done it to me maybe three times in the 5 years. They just say, before you can go on, please take a selfie to verify that you are the person who's registered.
All right, so let's go on the flip on this. We're talking about drivers being dangerous to passengers, and obviously it's a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of the drivers that somehow slip through the cracks. What about the passengers you've picked up that are abusive or dangerous?
The only information I have on them is their first name. Uber has all the information.
So you're rolling the dice every time somebody gets into your car.
Yeah, and the problem is sometimes somebody will order an Uber for somebody else. You know, a guy will order an Uber for his girlfriend, or more times than often, a woman. It'll be a woman's name on the account, but a guy will get in because the guy is too cheap or whatever to have his own credit card or whatever.
Right.
Well, John, can't you text that information to you? Isn't there a spot on there if you're going to do that?
No, you're supposed to. I mean, you know, sometimes when you arrive to pick up somebody and you don't see them there, you will call, and then it'll say, you know, you're picking up Debbie, and you hit the button to call Debbie, and Debbie will say, oh, it's my boyfriend, it's not me. I will now call him and tell him that you're waiting. So then you got to wait while she calls her boyfriend to tell her boyfriend that his Uber is waiting for
him. Yeah, so it's a pain. But, yeah, I just want to make the point, too, that you drivers have risk as well. But, man, I appreciate you listening. Yeah. Be safe out there. You know, I drove Uber one day.
Really?
One day. It was after I got fired and they just started. And, you know, I'm not ashamed. I need a little cash. And I had a pickup of three guys. So I go to pick up the three guys together. It's O.J. Simpson, Robert Blake, and Drew Peterson. That was it. I was done. They were just out for the night having a good time. I said, no more. So there's this television station in Savannah. I wouldn't do this story even though you guys didn't pick it. WSAV-TV. And the Savannah Bridge Run in Georgia was last weekend. And she looks like she's maybe 25. And she's just doing her job on TV. She's covering the race. Runners are running around her. They're all doing the goofy thing where you jump behind a reporter and wave your arms. Her name is Alex Bozargian. And all of a sudden a runner comes along who slaps her on the butt. And she was rightfully offended. She throws it up on Twitter. Twitter blows up. They out the guy in about 30 seconds. Turns out he's a youth minister and a Boy Scout leader.
Oof.
Well, at least he was. His lawyer, Joseph Turner, said he's a loving husband and father who's very active in his community. Yeah, apparently slapping women on the ass. Well, we regret the situation. Mr. Calloway did not act with criminal intentions. Okay, again, it's 2019. It's almost 2020. You can't just smack women you don't know on the butt. And because a woman's out covering a story on TV doesn't mean you can be an animal around her. Dope. Karen Conti joins us, and Karen Conti is an attorney at law. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning.
So here's what we want to do. In each week when we do this, I'm just going to throw this out as a regular thing. We want to try to get at least one, maybe two, maybe 27 questions answered by you at 312-981-7200. Text them in if you want. Maybe you want to call them in. We're always short on time because we cover the other stuff, but we'll do the best we can. So let's jump in. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Drew Peterson's moving prisons. Why?
Well, I don't know. First of all, why was he moved out of state into a federal prison? His crime was a state crime, so usually prisoners stay in the state and they stay in the state jails. He was transferred to Terre Haute Federal Prison. And they say it's because he was attacked in prison. The guy wanted to apparently sell his belongings on eBay, so they moved him out. Now they're moving him back into the state. I think that they're worried about his security and they don't want him to be any one place for any length of time. That
so,
would be my
so
guess.
They're going to keep moving him around.
I bet they will. Okay. I really do think they will.
All right, so let's say I get on an airplane and I want to wear my favorite Hail Satan t-shirt, you know, from my Hail Satan collection. This actually happened. Somebody had a Hail Satan t-shirt on and American Airlines forced the person to either remove the shirt or get off the plane. Is that okay?
You know what? I'm not sure that it is, and I don't want to be all lawyerly on this, but, you know, is that offensive to some people? Yes, it's offensive to some people, but I see a lot of offensive things on t-shirts. Is this discrimination based upon religious beliefs? Oh, gosh. I mean, I hate to parse it this way, but it sounds like it is. I mean, if someone said something bad against a Muslim faith or the Christian faith, you can't really discriminate against people based on their religious beliefs. You can say something's obnoxious, some profanity or something is obscene because it's showing too much skin. Those are all rules that are written into the contracts that the airlines have. But the idea that we're discriminating against someone because of something that is offensive from a religious standpoint, I don't know. I think that might be actionable. I'm not saying she should bring a lawsuit. I'm just saying that I think the airlines need to be a little more careful on how they make these decisions.
So we know that once the plane pulls away from the gate, the pilot, the chief pilot, the head pilot, is the boss of the sky. And he can do everything from detain you to physically restrain you or order his folks to do the same. If the plane is pulled away from the gate, would that change grounds or standing in the lawsuit?
Not really, because, you know, yes, you're right. The pilot can do whatever the pilot wants and can take control. But we're talking about discrimination based upon religious beliefs. I think that's what we're saying, because why is that offensive to people? Because it offends most people's religious beliefs that Satan is bad and the devil is bad, but is it obnoxious in a way that is otherwise obnoxious or otherwise obscene? I don't think it is. So I think what this is doing is you're discriminating against somebody based upon their religion or lack thereof, I guess I should say.
Yeah, the person that's wearing that shirt is going to take crap all day long. So, you know, they're either looking for that sort of attention or maybe they don't care. I'm not sure. But the fact of the matter is they are in a position where they're trying to get attention. You're bringing more attention to it and to them. I'm with you. I let them wear the shirt.
Yeah, I don't think it's that, you know, I mean, I've seen worse. I've seen sexual references. Just sometimes the fact of how people are dressed in very tight clothes or half tops or ripped things. I mean, bra straps showing. I mean, what's offensive to people? I think we can't be the arbiter of those things in a way like in an airline. I just don't think that was the right decision for them.
All right, we'll take a break for the weather here. We'll come back again. You're invited to ask a question or two. We'll try to get answers from Karen. 312-981-7200 is the number to get a hold of me by phone or by text. And former WGN nighttime talent Patty Vasquez is all over the news this morning. We'll tell you why when we come back as soon as possible as well. All right. Karen Conti, our lawyer friend. Hello, lawyer friend.
Hello, radio friend.
And you are at what number?
I am at 312-332-7800 or email WGN at AskKarenConti.com.
I don't want to take a lot of time with this because we can talk more about it later, but your friend of mine, Patty Vasquez, went public yesterday with a story that you and I have known about for a long time. She's running for state representative, and the name she's always used publicly, or the name she's known for, is Patty Vasquez. You have to use your legal name when you run for office, and that name, in Patty's case, is Patty Bonin. Patty Bonin's half-brother was one of John Gacy's victims. And for the sake of her own privacy and certainly her family's privacy, she never talked about it. But now that she's running for office, and now that some of her opponents are apparently trying to make a something of the fact that she's kissing up to the Hispanic community with this name Vasquez that she's used for her entire career, she's come out with a story to tell the story of her family. And it's very painful, as you can imagine. And you know this, Karen. You've spent time with her.
Yeah.
It's tough.
And, you know, it's interesting, you know, Gacy was such a prolific killer that it's really hard to be in a room anywhere where someone has not been affected by Gacy in some way, shape, or form. And, you know, hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Oh, I'm sorry. My phone is making very strange noises. It is shocking for people to know that she was, you know, affected by this in this very close way. But again, because of the sheer number of people that were involved with Gacy, it's actually not surprising.
Yeah, and that's the thing. In the world of comedy, you can imagine through the years, she's had comedians come up to her and go and tell John Gacy jokes, and you can imagine what that's like. Or I should say, we can't imagine what that's like. But anyway, I salute her courage to do this, and wish her well in that race. And if you're interested in it, friendsofpattyvasquez.com, you can see what she's up to. All right, moving on here to story number three, Juice WRLD. Do I have the right to have my private plane searched, Karen?
You know, it's very interesting. You have a right to privacy in your private plane. I don't know if you've ever had the luxury of flying on a private plane. No one looks at your stuff. There's no TSA. You can walk right on the plane. You can walk right off the plane. And the pilots have a right of privacy. And the government usually needs a warrant to go into your private plane. And the planes are tracked, though. I mean, there's definitely the federal government is looking to see what is your flight plan. Did you leave the country? Who are the owners? Where were you last? Are you making strange stops? And when those things all line up, the feds do come to you and they try to have a warrantless search. And my guess here is that they didn't have a warrant, but that there was a consensual search. And that's when they turned up all the drugs and the guns.
Amongst the rumors of what killed this kid is that he popped a bunch of Percocets instead of having them found on his person. And an OD took him out. But again, until the autopsy is complete, we won't know.
Sad. Very sad.
That's a bad story all the way around. All right, you want to tackle a couple of these questions?
Sure.
All right, from the 815, how long can my ex go without paying child support before the state does something? Almost $2,000 behind. I'm told he hasn't met the minimum yet.
Oh, well, you have to take action. The state's not going to do anything unless you take action. A couple things you can do. You can hire a private lawyer to go after him, or you can hire the state's attorney. If you're in Cook County, for instance, the Cook County state's attorney has a division that will go after him, and they'll file motions. They'll get him into court. They'll get his records. They'll make him pay. They'll take away his driver's license if it's a sufficient amount of money, and that's what you should do. But don't wait because no one's going to do it for you.
Is there a minimum, or is that something that maybe he's been feeding her?
No, there's no minimum. Minimum before you should take action. I think when someone stops paying child support, you should pay attention to it immediately.
Right.
Just because when these child support amounts mount and they become into the tens of thousands of dollars, the interest is incredibly high. But sometimes people just aren't able to pay it, and you can lien their property, you can garnish their wages, and sometimes, you know, you're sitting there with a Social Security check and you're never going to get your money. So I say take action, get your child support, use the government resources, which are good, or hire a private lawyer.
815, a job application asks if you've ever been convicted of a crime. You pled guilty to a misdemeanor but never faced trial. Should you check yes if you've been convicted?
He pled guilty to a misdemeanor.
Right.
Then I think the answer is yes. The answer is you pled guilty, that is a conviction. So the answer is yes, and it'll probably come up on the search should the employer do it.
And
employers are doing a lot of those these days.
may cost you the job in the beginning, but you may not be considered anyway once the background check comes through. So I salute this person's honesty.
Right. And you know, look into expungement. There's rules about it. I can't tell you all the rules, but if it's something that happens, you know, early on, it's a misdemeanor. It might be something you can get wiped from your record. And it's worth it to do it because you don't want this thing kind of shadowing you forever.
You know, I gave you an idea a long time ago for expungemenow.com. Have you done anything with that website?
I have not.
Oh, please. $1 million idea. 630, the dry cleaners lost my stuff. Do I have any sort of action I can take?
Yeah, you do. And they have insurance for it. So make the claim. It's not going to be worth that much. People think their clothing is worth a lot. If I paid $100 for something used, what is it worth? Something you can get on eBay, it's probably worth $10. I would say make the claim, put together the claim for the dry cleaners. They will submit it to their carrier, and you'll get paid, but not a whole lot.
What if you have a Vera Wang gown that they lost?
Well, that might have a little bit more value.
But how do you prove it, right? I mean, it's gone.
It's gone, but they have records of it, and you know, you try to find your receipts, you try to find some evidence, and you know, usually they're pretty good at owning up to that. Okay. Sometimes the dry cleaners, you know, send it out to another place, so that place might have liability. So let them work it out. But certainly, you put together a package. Maybe you have a picture of yourself wearing it, and go from there.
All right, let me get a call in here before we run out of time. Good morning, Debbie.
Hi, I had a question for Karen Conti regarding the child support. My daughter is now 19. I finally got a child support check of $24 at the age of 18. He owes me $155,000 in back child support.
Wait, you mean he literally sent you $24?
I just got that when she turned 19, a year ago.
Your question is, how do you collect all that back support?
He is in Wisconsin. I'm in Illinois. I couldn't get an attorney. I am low income, and I am disabled.
I get it. I'm sorry that's going on. You know, that's a complicated enough question. I'm going to have Karen tackle that off the air.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, but now, hold on. Don't hang up. Don't hang up.
Okay.
Don't hang up. All right, Karen, where's Karen here? Let me get her back on. Karen, we're going to run out of time here, but I'd love for you to talk to Debbie off the air because that's insane.
She's I'll be happy to do that.
Owed $150,000 and she got $24. Karen, we'll hear you on the radio when there's not a game on Sunday night. And again, thank you, as always, for the help.
All right, Steve. Have a good day.
Now, my friend Bella Gandhi is here. You look fabulous. How are you?
I'm great.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Happy snowy day.
Now, our friend Andy Mazur here, it's a perfect day for you to be here.
Yes, it is.
Andy is in a very happy relationship for the first time since I've known him.
Since normally, the Johnson administration.
Normally, he's not even old enough to remember the Johnson exactly. administration.
And Andy's got a lunchbox packed by his Sig-O.
Yeah, that's exactly
that's
right.
That's love.
It's pretty good stuff.
The reason we're bringing this up to you, Bella, is because your business is?
Smart Dating Academy. We help people like Andy, like you, like all these amazing men and women in Chicago, find really good, happy love that puts that smile on your face and a lunchbox in your hand.
It's different than any sort of regular approach to dating because it's not just a dating website. It's a place where you can actually role play a date. You can actually get coaching on how to be a better date, how to handle all these dating websites and all the various potholes you can step in, how to blow off the guy that lies. And his picture wasn't his picture. All of those things.
That never happened.
No. All right. You always have great stories. Can you tell me one of your favorite stories this year?
I had a woman from Portland, Oregon, who emailed me and said, I don't even know if you'll take me as a client. I'm 64 years old, and I've been married 4 times. But I've done a lot of inner work. I know that the responsibility is me, and I'd like to find someone.
Well, it's a great opening.
She came to Chicago. Did our process, worked with us for 6 months. The first guy she met on Match, she had new pictures, had a new profile, had a new outlook on who to pick, became her husband a year later. And I told her, you know what? Five's a charm. But this one, till death do they part. Amazing.
Well,
beautiful
that's happy.
Couple.
That's a happy
Sue
story.
Sue and Glenn, if you're listening, hi, we love you.
That's a very happy story.
Yeah, really happy.
Well, good for them.
Yeah.
All right, so here's what we want to do. We're going to come back. Vivian, the lunatic producer of this program.
That's Lady Vivian.
Lady Vivian has a long-distance relationship with a delightful guy named George from Los Angeles. But she brought up a term the other day that I'd not heard, cuffing season. And I always heard the no breakup zone between Thanksgiving and Valentine's Day. If you're dating someone, I don't care how sick of them you are, you hang through the holidays and through Valentine's Day before you break up. But cuffing zone apparently is something of that. So anyway, I want to get her in here. I want to see if some listeners have a couple of questions for you. And then I want to make Andy nervous.
Yeah, always does.
These are all the goals. So Bella Gandhi's here. And again, Smart Dating Academy, best place to get a hold of you is to do what? How?
Follow us on Instagram. We do live Q&As. You can ask. My team will answer at Smart Dating Academy. Or go to www.smartdatingacademy.com for lots of free info.
Andy, is your girlfriend listening now?
I don't think so.
All right, good. So come up with a couple of questions you want Bella to answer for you. Well, yeah. I get some of these listener questions. These are texters. 630, how important is the picture in the profile?
It's 90% of your success in online dating.
Because people see and
people
they
are visual.
React?
They're trying to replicate, you know, boy meets girl in a bar. You meet eyes, you lock. Okay, that's what online dating is about. So you've got to have a great photo, good, high resolution. Don't cut someone out of your photo. Get a new picture. In today's day and age, it's really easy. Look right at the camera, smile, look like you're going somewhere fun, look happy. And then you got to have some head to toes. People want to see what you look like.
Yeah, they want to see what the body is.
Exactly.
Yeah, and
exactly.
That's not, that doesn't make them bad people.
No.
What do you want
to see? Hey, guys, there are many, many lids to your pot out there. And if you're kind of feeling a little doubtful, not feeling like your best self, I promise you, look around. Is everybody that you see a supermodel in a relationship? No. Normal people just like us. So get yourself out there.
Yeah, and if you have a picture and you go, well, this is a really great picture of me, it doesn't look exactly like I look right now. Are you asking for trouble?
You're asking for big trouble. People want to date the person in the picture. Sometimes women, you know, they change their hair color.
Right.
In the fall, the summer. Suddenly, if you're a blonde in your photo, guess who he wants to show up to the date?
Right.
Not the brunette.
Or the redhead when the leaves
fantasies.
Change.
Right. Or the crew cut.
Right. So just be common sense about it.
Yeah, exactly. Your photo should be no more than 1 year old.
And you should put yourself in the shoes of the person you're meeting or the person you'd like to meet?
Always.
Okay.
Always. Be interesting and interested in the other person.
Another 630. My friends tell me I always pick the wrong guy.
Ooh.
How do I change my type?
Call
That's
me.
An interesting question.
It's a good question. If you have a type, you definitely have a dating pattern. A lot of these things can stem from childhood stuff. From what you saw at home, when you keep picking and accepting people that don't treat you well. So intervention is a good thing. If your friends are telling you to fix your picker and get some help. Build a good village around you of people that'll be encouraging. Call a therapist. Call us. 95% of our clients have bad pickers, like the woman who picked four bad husbands that I just talked about.
So is it, it's not as simple as just go against type. Like if you like a very masculine, in charge man, go with somebody more sensitive. It's not that easy.
It's not that easy to do, but you have to figure out what's the common denominator of what's not working. And this is where people kind of get confused. Well, last time, you know, I've always dated these guys who don't make as much money as me, and that's been the problem. Well, not really. That's probably not the problem. There's something else that's the problem. Maybe you're accepting a lot of bad treatment.
Andy?
Yeah, I mean, I can go back to the online dating thing for a second, too, because, you know, it used to be this big stigma because, you know, you don't want to say that you met somebody online, but, you know.
Everybody does.
Yeah, but the girl I'm with now, she met online. She actually made the first contact, which was like, okay, this is good for me because I don't have to make the contact. But I kind of looked beyond some of the stuff that, you know, because Bella and I have talked a few times over the last couple of years. And, you know, I'm not getting any younger. I don't know if you noticed that.
You're 30. Come
yeah,
on, man.
Exactly. Yeah. But, you know,
30 plus.
It did kind of make me look for something that, you know, I wanted to be in a relationship where I was treated as well as I treated them.
Yeah.
And it's actually.
So you're open to it.
For it. Yeah, definitely.
How big a deal is that to be open to the good things that are out there as opposed to assuming the worst is going to happen?
It's a huge thing. Number one, you've got to put yourself in the right mindset that there is good love out there. I call it psychotic optimism. Like, you're optimistic at any cost, yeah. Right? Love will come to me. All I have to do is date like heck to find this person. It's a when. It's not an if. And then my second thing that I launch our programs with every client is love will come to you in an unexpected package. If you do this right, he or she is going to be different than you thought. Different in some way, maybe the way they look, where they're from. I don't know what it means, but I have a crystal ball, and I'm telling you, love is out there for every one of you.
Vivian's here. You know, Vivian spends most of her day looking at me with that okay boomer look on her face. But she taught me the cuffing season words. Because I'd not heard of it. I said it's a no breakup zone. But you're in a very happy relationship now. But it's tough doing a long distance thing, right?
Yeah, it's tough. But we're making it work. I was talking with Bella a little bit off air, and we're making it work. You know, we're going back and forth at least once a month. He comes here, I go there. And now for the holidays, I went for Thanksgiving. I'm going again on Christmas, and he's coming here for New Year's. So we're making it work.
How come you have to go Thanksgiving and Christmas, and he only comes for New Year's?
He got me on that one. But also because I had a couple of vacation days that I had to use before the year ends.
And sounds like you're the giver and he's the taker.
And the weather's better, so she might be giving to herself to get out of here. Mm-hmm.
Look at me trying to start trouble. Any long-distance relationship tips?
Yeah, keep doing what you're doing, right? Communicating, over-communicating. You can
That's
watch
not a problem.
TV shows together.
Over-communicating's not an issue.
I think Steve knows me too well.
Yeah. Words per minute, not an issue.
Words per minute. The average person is 100. Viv is...
340.
You know, lots of FaceTimes, texting. You can do things. You can play games together. You can watch shows together. I have lots of clients that have been, you know, bi-coastal, long-distance relationships. But like we were talking about, eventually there has to be a plan to get to the same city.
Exactly.
Right? There is an end goal in mind. It can't perpetuate like that forever.
And we did talk about that. That's going to be May. We talked about that and we set a date where, okay, May we're going to start looking at, you know, possibilities of what will work best for the both of us. So just waiting till May now.
I suggested Tulsa. It's right in the middle.
Right smack in the middle.
Yeah. This is a good question from a texter in E815. How long do I wait before I call? And it's from a woman.
Oh yeah. If you got a good vibe from the guy, call him the next day.
Why not?
Yeah. I mean, if you like,
just
if
leave
you guys,
a message. Had a great time.
Two great guys in the studio. If you had a good date with a woman, would you love it if she called you the next day?
Absolutely.
Of course. And what's the modern take on texting? Is texting the same as a phone call? Is it safer? Is it better? Is it worse?
It's usually worse. It's faster. But I say reserve text for people that you really know well, because so many texts can get misinterpreted.
That's
right?
So funny. But you think about it, though, because texting seems impersonal, but you're saying it's more intimate down the road.
But or someone should know you really well, because when you're talking to someone that you don't know really well, you want tone. You want facial expressions. Sure. You want to know. It's like, do you want to go out? And if she writes back, yes, Y-E-S, it's like, is it yes? Or is it, yeah, right? And you lose all that context through text.
And what's the worst text you can get on anything? Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay can be read nine different ways.
Or how about K? Not even with the O. Yeah,
that's the worst.
And a period at the end.
Or is my kids do KK? Why two Ks?
Through and two, I don't know how you answer this. How important is being sexually compatible? Because some people, you know, I mean, once you start dating... You know, if you are going to have sex, being sexually compatible
is important.
Yeah. Check, please. Right. I don't know. Just...
I'd have to talk to you more. You can message me about what the word compatible means, and then we can.
Yeah, as long as, I mean, if you know where all the stuff goes, that's a good start, I suppose, right?
It feels right. Looks right. Let's take it to the next step.
And don't be afraid to use a manual or a YouTube video.
Oh, my God.
Vivian, any other questions?
Actually, I just wanted to give you a point for the whole, you know, texting and talking on the phone thing. It's funny because when I started talking with George, he FaceTimed me for the very first time. It wasn't a text. It wasn't, you know.
Oh, so he jumped right in.
He just jumped. He was like, facial expression. Hey, I'm here. How's it going? How's the weather?
Well, that's a guy that's confident, right? That's a guy that's confident
in
how he looks.
Yeah, because you could have hung up on him.
Yeah, and he also wants to be confident in how she looks as well.
Right.
I'm going to call you spontaneously. So FaceTiming is fine, even for dates. I think in the dating world, it's going to get to be a bigger thing, because as people complain about photos, the best thing to do a quick FaceTime date. 5 minutes.
It's a good
idea.
See
what the chemistry is like.
Yeah, don't just meet at a coffee shop.
Beverage
at first.
Right. That way you can put somebody's cyber personality in check. Like, yeah, they are smart and funny over text, and they are like that in person.
Anything else from you, Andrew?
Well, I used the text to kind of set up the first call, because I wanted to make the wanted to talk on the phone, but you know, I'm not sure what this person at that point in time is doing. That I don't want to call and have it be a bad time to call. So I just basically say,
jump on it.
What's a good time for me to call you tonight? And I I followed up with it. I called.
Right.
I think after the date, regardless of how it went, you should call the next day and go, oh, my God, it's the greatest night I've ever had. Would you please marry me tomorrow? You know, something low pressure.
Right. Don't scare anybody.
Right, right.
That's going to work.
Yeah. Home run.
Bella, how do people, and by the way, I'm trying to think of the easiest way to describe this, but I consider you a great coach. I consider you the Bill Belichick of dating.
Wow.
Yeah. The Super Bowl winning Bill Belichick.
How many rings?
What, seven?
Seven
six?
Rings?
Six, seven.
Okay.
All right. So people get a hold of you how?
On Instagram at Smart Dating Academy or our website, smartdatingacademy.com.
If you're serious about finding somebody, this is a great way to go because she's going to give you the good news and the bad news about how it's going so far and help you fix it.
It's peak dating season. Numbers go crazy, guys. This is the right time to get out there. Do it.
Yeah, it's cuffing season, I hear. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Thank you, Bella. One of the best groups we have every year, the Antioch Community High School Choir. Coming up, Texter says, congrats on show 1500. Tough business. That's a great milestone. Grateful to have been along for the ride. Keep up the good work. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate that text. Today is show number 1500. And Dave Ennett said, I want no part of that.
Dave took off for the celebration.
Yeah. You know where Dave is? He's in Florida visiting his dad, who I believe turns 96 this
96.
Week.
96.
Oh, my gosh.
And by the way, crazy healthy.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't he still play tennis?
I think he still plays tennis. He's 96 years old.
Crazy.
So,
he I don't. Looks just like Dave.
I don't play tennis, and I'm 58. All right. Standing by is one of our favorite groups. Who is it, Mary?
This is the Antioch High School Choir. Trey is the choir director, and my son-in-law, Johnny Unch, is the band director, and they're both here.
Who's closest to the mic? Is it Trey or Johnny?
It's Trey.
Hey, Trey, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Johnny's taking video, so.
Let me ask you a question. How is Mary's grandchildren, child?
It's growing, for sure. It's growing.
When are you due?
Are you due in April? Yeah, April.
End of April.
Yep.
Yes, my daughter is pregnant and due at the end of April.
Yep.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah, my daughter was born at the end of April, so they might be birthday buddies.
Oh, well, that's cool, right? But do you two like each other?
Yeah.
Depends on the day?
Yeah.
All right, now how many of these kids were here last year with us?
A handful? I would say most of them, yeah.
Okay. And then when I walked in the green room, one of the kids looked like Cartman. He had his hood pulled over his head and he was sleeping.
Yeah.
Did you revive that kid?
That would be Nathan. I'm going to embarrass him in front of all the radio.
Nathan apparently had a long night. All right, so give us one here. We'll come back and do more. What are you going to sing?
Oh, we're going to sing Jolly Old St. Nicholas for you guys.
Jolly Old St. Nicholas. This is the Antioch Community High School Choir.
Jolly Old St. Nicholas, sing your ear this way. Don't you tell a single soul what I'm going to say. Christmas Eve is coming soon, now you dear old man. Whisper what you'll bring to me, tell me if you can. When the clock is striking 12, when I'm fast asleep, down the chimney broad and black, with your back you'll creep. All the stockings you will find hanging in a row, mine will be the shortest one, you'll be sure to know. Johnny wants a basket, Susan wants a sled, Nellie wants a picture book, yellow, blue, and red. Now I think I'll leave you, once you get the rest, choose me to Santa Claus, you will know the best.
How about it? Give him a hand. Right out of the gate. 7:43 in the morning. Didn't miss a note.
And they picked the fastest song.
Right?
It's because it had the word Johnny in it, so we wanted to pick that one.
Did you guys threaten them in any way?
No. Last night when I told them the bus was leaving at 4:45. Ooh. But other than that, we didn't have to threaten them.
Oof. Well, they sound fantastic. We'll come back and do more in a second. But where will you be performing that maybe the public can see?
So we're performing at Antioch Community High School this Friday. We have two performances, 5 and 7. It's a free concert in our auditorium, and it has all the choirs, all the orchestras, and all the bands in one. So it's a great holiday event.
Sounds fantastic. All right, stand by. More to come from the Antioch High School Community, the Antioch Community High School Choir. Get it right, Steve. All right, 7:48. Andy Mazur's in for Dave Ennett. Andy, you and I were both old disc jockeys.
Correct.
And in the holidays, you would always play your favorite holiday songs. What's your favorite Christmas song?
I'm a big fan of Bruce Springsteen's Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Song. It's a good song, especially when the big man starts playing that saxophone.
Yeah.
I don't think the Antioch Community High School Choir is going to do that today.
No, probably not.
Trey and Johnny are here. And you want to introduce anybody in particular? Each other? You want to just focus on you two? Oop. Can they hear me? There we are.
Oh, here. Sorry. I was relaxing.
Should we just make it about you two?
You can make it about whoever you want.
No, how are things in there? Is there everything okay in the performance studio?
Yeah, things are great. We're having a great time.
No troubles?
I hit my head.
No troubles.
Someone hit their head?
Two people, actually.
Yeah,
intentionally.
Yeah, I don't know how.
It's a big...
because they don't see the first
It's a big open room. How could you hit your head?
The microphones.
On the window.
They're
high school students. On the window? What are you... You hit your head on the window? What are you, a bird?
That is perfect. That's the new nickname for the rest of the year right there.
All right. So what are you going to sing?
I think we're going to do Joy to the World next.
Joy to the World. It sounds new. Have you done it before?
We have.
Okay. It's Joy to the World. It's the Antioch Community High School Choir.
Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive the King. Let every heart prepare. And nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their souls employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains. Repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes a nation prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love.
You know, I don't know how you hit notes like that at this hour.
Beautiful.
Right?
Yeah, I don't either. I'm glad I don't have to do it.
Who is that? High soprano.
Yeah, who was that?
We have Joy right in the middle.
Oh, and her name's Joy.
She's a senior, yeah.
It's awesome.
Joy, that was very impressive. Was someone stepping on your foot?
And Caitlin is also on that as well. So two senior sopranos, yep.
847 says, so good, I cannot believe these kids are only in high school. How many of them have recording deals?
Zero. Right. But when they do, I tell them I've always dreamed of having a student buy me a Rolex when they become a millionaire.
Ah, that's fantastic.
So I'm hoping for that.
All right, so when a kid comes in, what age do you get them? Do you get them as freshmen?
Yes, freshmen.
All right, so as freshmen, can you tell if they've got chops?
100%. You know right away if they how good they're going to be. Some of them surprise you, but if they come in freshman year, And they're able to sing songs like the one you just heard with all those extended ranges, then I'm very blessed to have them.
See, here's what happened to me. And as a freshman, I went in and the choir director heard me audition and said, well, you're big. You could play football.
We got a couple football players in here. Yeah.
So my question is, when somebody comes in and they really want to, but maybe they're not right for it, what do you do?
It's just like any other class in school. Like if you take Spanish, you don't come in speaking Spanish normally, and there's lots of students that come in that aren't really that advanced in singing, and that's why they take the class, and that's my job, is to make them better. And
ready for prime time.
Yep. I've yet to have a student that hasn't improved, and most of the time, they improve pretty dramatically, because if they come in not really knowing what they're doing, it's because they haven't been exposed to it. So then being in class every day and singing with a group of people really helps out. So.
Andy, question?
Yeah, you can't help me, so I can't really ask you the question about that. I want to sing, but, you know, it's every time I do it in the car, someone tells me to shut up.
Then you just need to drive without people in the car.
Oh, good point. Good
That's
call.
A very good point.
Call.
Solo. All right, anybody in this group that you want to call out because they got something special going on in their life? They got a birthday, anything like that?
Does anybody have a birthday coming up?
No.
A week ago.
Is yours tomorrow?
Yeah.
All right, so Isaac, one of our new members. He's got the awesome...
Is that the kid that hit his head on the window?
No. This is one of his first... He's a wrestler, and he just popped his elbow out of socket a couple weeks ago. Oh. So it's the first time he hasn't had his sling.
All right.
So,
well, Isaac, happy birthday. Can we do a quick happy birthday with the choir?
Yeah, let's do it.
It's right, my son's birthday today, too.
Oh, and there you go.
He's 28, yeah.
What's his
29.
Name?
29. Christopher.
All right, so we'll go happy birthday, dear Chris and Isaac.
All right, so okay. Here we go. When are you ready?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Chris and Isaac. Happy birthday to you.
Wow, that was unrehearsed.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Right?
Happy birthday.
That was unrehearsed. That was very impressive. All right, one more before we run out of time. And again, you can see the Antioch Community High School Choir where and when.
So we are performing this Friday, the 13th. I know, spooky. At 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock at Antioch Community High School in the auditorium. The concerts are free. Please come on out. Should be a good time.
And what are you going to do now?
Now we're going to do Jingle Bells for our last one. It's one of my favorites.
I'm familiar with it. All right, Jingle Bells, as done by these guys now on 720 WGN.
Dashing through the snow, hear one voice open, sir. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Day or two ago, I thought I'd take a ride. Soon this Fanny Bright was seated by my side. The horse was lean and lank, misfortune seemed his lot. He got into a drift and thankingly we got up sought. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Now the ground is white, go it while you're young. Take the girls tonight and sing a sleighing song. Just get up off tonight, 244 is speed. Then hitch him to an open sleigh, crack, you'll take the lead. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Fantastic. The rare sitting ovation for the Antioch Community High School Choir. Great job, you guys. Mary, get in there and take a picture with those guys.
I will.
Thank you guys very much.
Thank you very much for having us.
Merry Christmas. And we're back with the news after this from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right. A lot of you have been wondering, where's the snappy theme music for you two morons? Well, we're working on it. That's all. We're working on it.
I was wondering that, too.
We have bigger problems. Dean?
Bigger than the music being missing? I don't think so.
Dean, I saw your face. Is there something you need to talk about?
Dean, I beg your pardon.
Dean, are there problems at home? What happened?
I beg your pardon.
Dean looked like Julie Andrews roughed him up in that Q&A you did.
I had a small accident the other day.
Tell us the truth, Dean. This is the only way we're going to get beyond this. Mel Gibson roughed you up, didn't he? Meg Ryan finally got even with you.
Julie Andrews is a lot tougher than one would think a Mary Poppins would be.
I heard she sucker punched you in the back. Is that true?
She does not like when someone else sings supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
If you guys haven't seen Channel 9 this morning, Dean's right eye, well, it looks like maybe Rocky Balboa worked him over a little bit. So what happened?
As much as I love that as a way to get people to watch the morning news.
Yeah.
Not exactly true. But so I went over after I finished my little radio show, you know, that I do on Sunday?
Yeah.
Every Sunday from 9 to 1.
It's a legend.
We finished early. We were done early on Sunday. So I was going to walk over to the water tower because Julie Andrews, who I interviewed last night, we had a huge night at the Chicago Theater. I'm going to play a cut for you in a second. I was invited to host the Q&A for her, so I wanted to be completely prepared. She's got a new book out that's called Homework, and her manager was supposed to send the book to me a couple of days prior to that. The book never got here. Thank you, whatever delivery company it was that was supposed to send it. The book didn't arrive until after the event. So
that's not helpful.
That's not helpful. So the book's not there, so I say, I'm just going to go buy a book. So I go over to the water tower to buy the book, and while I'm walking, there is a little patch that's right in front of the water tower with a whole bunch of potholes No, nobody likes pot. Nobody likes driving through potholes.
So you stepped in a puddle.
Let me just tell you something. Tripping on one is even worse. My foot got caught in the pothole. I went smack down on the concrete. My head actually hit the concrete. And
what time of day is this?
12 noon, 12:30.
On a Sunday in Chicago on Michigan Avenue. Nobody saw you then.
I was right in front of the American Girl store. I'm sure a lot of little girls now and their families are going to be traumatized.
Daddy, what's wrong with the man that fell?
What's wrong with the man? So, you know, my glasses that I wear, smash into my head.
Good God.
Oh, man, are you concussed?
My head actually hit the concrete, so I've got a huge mark because of that where my glasses, you know, slammed into my head. I've got a sort of a gash along the bridge of my nose. I'm not concussed.
You must have bled a lot.
It did bleed quite a bit.
Did anyone help you?
A couple of people did come over.
Did anybody step over you and say, I'm trying to get into Macy's?
Hey, I'm walking here.
Wait, it's the American Girl store.
I'm walking here. Hey, I'm trying to get Josefina here.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, people did help, but I don't know if you've ever done this, Steve, when something happens where you, like, really man up, you know, you're like, oh, I'm not hurt.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
No, I'm good, I'm good. This is just blood.
Yeah, let's go get a beer. I'm fine. But, and at the moment, it didn't really hurt until about an hour later, and then it hurt, like,
a lot.
Crazy. So I went to the emergency room, and that's where.
Did you break anything?
I fractured my wrist. You know, when I tried to break my...
Is that right?
I fractured my left wrist, and hey, super helpful because I'm left-handed. I've got a cast on it right now. And,
wow!
My knee is... my knee that I fell on is super, super sore, and that's all scraped up.
Dude!
I hope you didn't tear your meniscus.
And no, my meniscus is okay. I did all the other tests, had a CAT scan, had x-rays of everything. Everything else is fine. It was just mostly super, super embarrassing. And
how long before you were recognized? Immediately when you were bleeding on the ground or when you stood up?
No, in the hospital, people were like, hey, I watch you in the morning. Oh, this is going to...
Did you report the pothole?
Did not.
Who is the least sensitive person at Channel 9's morning news?
Should I report the pothole?
Well, yeah, because other people are going to do it.
311.
311.
I think you probably got a good lawsuit, too, against the city.
Well, now we're talking.
There you go.
Now we're talking.
Who is the least sensitive person at Channel 9?
Oh, no, everyone's been super nice.
So is Conrad?
I'm playing this up for as much sympathy as possible.
I don't blame you, dude.
Yeah.
All right, we'll come back.
I don't even need to be in a wheelchair, but I brought one anyway.
We'll come back and talk a little show business first. But first, we need to take a break because Dean needs to ice his face.
and a martini.
My microphone wasn't on. You know why? Because I didn't turn it on. We'll get back to Dean and his broken face in just a second. But first, we have a special Blackhawks announcement. I don't know about you, but this one last shift thing I think is really cool.
It's awesome.
Because it gives you an opportunity to really salute the players you've loved. And in this 10th anniversary of that first championship, there's been a lot of looking back and enjoying it. The Blackhawks are going to honor our next guest, and he's only got a couple of minutes here with one more shift, and that is Chris Versteeg. Steeger!
How's it going, guys?
Hey, congratulations, man. This must feel great.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, you know, when you don't have a Hall of Fame career or anything like that to be honored in these situations. You don't really think about it. So if it does come along, it's definitely a huge honor. So I'm excited.
Yeah, your former teammate Dave Bolin kind of choked up a little bit when he got his chance. What do you think the emotions are going to be like getting back on the United Center ice?
I think it'll be, you know, really emotional. I know for camp this year and being around everyone again and just being in the room, it was pretty emotional. But you know, when you're saying goodbye and, you know, after a good run and a long run and to an organization and a fan base that means so much to me, I'm sure it's going to be hard, but you know, at the same time, my family's all going to be there, and I know it's going to be a lot of shared emotions.
Can you believe it's been 10 years?
No,
isn't that crazy?
It's been crazy. Yeah, and you know, 13 since I got a start with the Blackhawks, and it feels like it went by. Obviously, everyone who looks back, they say the same thing, but it really does just feel like it was yesterday where I was, you know, driving from Rockford to Chicago and Al McIsaac called me and had me come up to fly to Calgary to go play my first game. It's wild how time flies.
Some great bobblehead nights coming up and some great promotional nights as well, and you need to check that out by going to the Blackhawks website, ChicagoBlackhawks.com. But Steger, you deserve this, the way the fans have loved you forever, because here's a guy, Andy, not the biggest guy on the ice, but will mix it up with anybody.
Yes, sir.
Got a great shot. Good heavy shot, by the way. Will play both ends of the ice, which is what made you a great player. So, man, enjoy every minute of this. Take a moment when you're on that. Just stop. Just stop and look at the crowd and just soak it in.
Yeah, you know, I'm definitely going to do that. I know in 2010, when we were on the ice in game five at home and we won, and I remember just stopping. And I was like, man, I got to take a moment. I'm in the Stanley Cup Finals and look around and see everyone going nuts, screaming, we want the cup. I know it's not the same situation, obviously, but those are moments. And again, on Sunday, those are moments that I'm going to have to stop and take a look around, because it's going to be a memory I'm going to remember.
Last the rest of your life. Christopher Steig being honored with one more shift. Sunday, December 15th. That's this Sunday, just prior to the game against the Minnesota Wild. ChicagoBlackhawks.com. Congratulations, man.
Thanks, guys. Hope all's well.
Appreciate you being on. Broken Face Dean Richards rejoins us now.
Nice honor that is.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah,
and he's a good dude. We like him.
I just like it.
All right, so
I don't want to try to compare his accomplishments, but I fell right in front of the American Girl Store.
Well, listen, two superior athletes, you guys should get together.
Yeah.
How did Julie Anderson go?
Oh, it was just, people will ask me all the time who are my favorite people to interview. Julie Andrews is now near the top of that list, maybe the very top.
Is that right?
She could not be more lovely and friendly and down-to-earth and sweet and caring. I had met with her and her manager the day before the event, which was last night. We just got together to talk about the night, and she was so concerned about my falling, and was I okay? And she was, very like being my mother, worried about me. So sweet, but so funny and amazing stories. It was like 2 hours on stage last night at the Chicago Theater. There were no restrictions. A lot of times when these kinds of things go on, they say, don't ask this, don't ask that. They said, ask whatever you want. We invited you. We trust you. We talked about her great career. People filled out little cards with questions. So it was like a Q&A with the audience.
Were any of the questions, what happened to Dean's face?
You can't really tell that anything's happened to my face.
Uh-huh.
We have amazing makeup people here at the TV stations, too. Yeah.
I like the pirate patch. I didn't expect to see you wearing that on TV.
There is that. That's was it like to be Mary Poppins?
Is there any excerpts of that we can see? You guys are playing highlights, I know.
We are playing some highlights. Do you have like a minute to
hit it right now?
A little something about the making of Mary Poppins.
Here we go.
What's it like for you or your first movie? And, they come to you that day and go, we're going to wire you up today, and you're going to go flying off into the sunset and sing.
They saved all the really difficult flying sequences for me until the very, very end of filming for me, because if there had been an accident, presumably everything was in the can, if you know what I mean. There was a story where I was hanging around up in the rafters. I think it was the last day of filming, and I got sort of superstitious. I thought that my luck would run out or something, because it was very high and the wires were excruciatingly painful attached to my hip through my costumes, and I thought I felt the wire just give a few inches, and I got nervous, and I said, excuse me, way down there, when I come down, would you let me down very gently, please? I think that the wires gave a little bit, and I'm rather nervous today. And my wires went all the length of the studio and down to giant sandbags, which were my counterbalancing equipment. And the word went all the way back to the studio. Let her down easy, Joe. When she comes down, let her down really easy. Uh-oh. And I plummeted to the stage. Now, thank God for the counterbalances because I didn't get hurt. But I have to admit, I did let fly with a few expletives that Disney has never heard since.
I did make the offer on stage publicly that if anyone has those outtakes of Mary Poppins cursing like a sailor, I would pay any money for those outtakes.
Ah, my best to your face, my friend. And
my best to yours, too.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's, you know, equally the same, and I didn't fall. We'll talk to you later and see Dean on TV. We'll get the news next.
Later, loser.
Oh, well, here you go. These are the
later, loser.
Telephone Christmas cards where I talk to celebrities later, and wish them Merry Christmas. Good morning, Mr. President. Mr. President?
Good morning, Cochran.
Hey,
before we get started, could I just take a moment to point out that God's gift to the silver screen, Mr. Robert De Niro, did not receive a Golden Globe nomination for The Irishman.
That's true.
Couldn't have happened to a more deserving guy.
Yeah, you don't like
I love
him.
The Hollywood Foreign Press. I really do.
You know, you're on our telephone Christmas card list this year.
Am I really?
Saves me a stamp, so I appreciate you being on Merry Christmas. And to continue here, the House Democrats announced two articles of impeachment against you yesterday. Did you watch the announcement?
Yeah, I got some of the coverage, but I got distracted and tuned out when Mike Pence emailed me the trailer for the new Ghostbusters movie.
Okay.
Have you seen it? I was watching, and the good news is the Ghostbusters reboot isn't starring any of those annoying broads from Saturday Night Live.
This truly is a season of miracles, sir.
You got that right, Mike.
Well, I don't know what to say to you other than I'm happy that you're on. And moving on from that, your personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, is back from his trip to Ukraine. He's expected to talk about the Bidens later this week. Now, you say he's got good information?
Oh, does he ever? I mean, the information is bigly great. I mean, it's going to blow your mind, Cochran. Let's face it, I'm not the kind of guy who would exaggerate.
No, never, not you. What kind of information?
Well, I can't get into the details, but I will tell you that when Sleepy Joe hears about it, his hair plugs are going to pop out and have to be replugged. Believe me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Rudy is so much more than a personal lawyer. He's like a private investigator. He's just like Magnum P.I., minus the mustache, the good looks, the Ferrari, and the hot girls.
Just like Magnum. Just like him.
And Rudy's doing a fantastic job as my personal lawyer. I mean, if it wasn't for the fact that whenever he's doing an interview, it looks like he's on a combination of crystal meth and Adderall, I'd probably make him my inspector general. I really would.
Mr. President, Nancy Pelosi and you're both on the shortlist to be Time Magazine's Person of the Year. What are your thoughts there?
Well, frankly, I'm shocked, because I had no idea Nancy had been promoted to person.
Yep.
Yeah, but I will tell you, if I end up winning Person of the Year, the Democrats will accuse me of colluding with the Time Magazine people.
Yeah,
and before you know it, we'll be well on our way to another witch hunt. It's very sad. Now, from what I understand, there's another magazine that's also interested in putting Nasty Nancy on the cover.
I didn't know about this. Which magazine?
Popular Mechanics. Yeah, they want to do a cover story on her face and how it's a testament to the modern construction techniques. The lady never blinks her eyes, Cochran. It's fascinating stuff.
All right, so CNN and the Washington Post reported you've continued to use your unsecured personal cell phone to conduct official business off the record. They say you've even given out your personal cell phone number to other heads of state.
Wrong. Look, everybody needs to relax about this. I've only given out my number to the people I trust the most. The only people you would trust with sensitive, confidential information.
Okay.
People like Boris Johnson, Dennis Rodman, Vladimir Putin, Ted Nugent, little Kim Jong Oompa Loompa, and Gene Simmons. That's all. Completely safe people to share info with.
Oh, sir, don't forget all the Kardashians except Khloe.
Oh, right.
And then the 12 Miss America contestants.
Uh-huh.
And the three blondes on the Baylor Women's College Championship basketball team.
Okay, Mike, that's enough. Thank you.
Happy to help, Your Eminence.
Look, bottom line is this. My phone is incredibly secure. Incredibly. In fact, my phone has the world's most sophisticated fecal recognition software available.
I think you meant facial recognition. Now, let me switch topics. North Korea called you a heedless and erratic old man and are threatening to call you a dotard again if you don't stop calling little Kim Rocket Man. So now they're calling you names. Are you going to start calling them more names? And what about all the beautiful letters?
You know, it sounds like little Kimbo might be a little hangry. Maybe you could use a new bacon barbecue burger and a snickerdoodle McFlurry from McDonald's.
Limited time only.
Look, that wasn't meant as an insult at all, Cochran. Not at all. See, in the Korean language, let me explain something to you. Everybody knows they don't have an alphabet over there. They just have funny-looking drawings of little boxes with squiggly lines on the top of them that looks like a hangman game. So heedless and erratic old man always gets confused with the phrase "man with head of eternal hair."
Okay.
And that quote about North Korea calling me a dotard again is just a typo. What they meant to say is that Kim and I are so alike, we're practically brotards.
Oh, sure.
That's a real word. You can look that up in the Urban Dictionary.
I don't know if that's actually true.
Now, as far as them being mad that I'm calling him Rocket Man, I honestly think it's a misunderstanding. I mean, it's a compliment. Kim and I play this game where we talk to each other on the phone using Elton John song titles.
Really?
I call him up and say, "Hey, Rocket Man." And he says, "I'm still standing. Can you feel the love tonight?" And then we end each phone call with a duet of "Goodbye, Norma Jean." That's all in good fun.
Interesting that you call each other that. Now, People Magazine wrote that the new unauthorized biography about the First Lady called Free Melania says she's really in charge of the White House, has a lot of influence over your decision.
Okay, you're quoting an article from People Magazine, please. That's like asking me if an article you read in the New York Times is true.
Well, does she have influence over you?
I'd love to answer your question, but I haven't run it by her yet. I'll take a rain check and get back to you on that one.
Finally, you made some remarks about EPA water restrictions this week. You said Americans are unhappy because they got to flush 10 or 15 times. Where did you get those numbers?
It's called common sense, Cochran, okay? Look, today's bathroom fixtures are just too restrictive. Too restrictive, especially in my private Oval Office bathroom. I mean, if I have to keep stopping what I'm doing to flush the toilet, how am I supposed to put together a cohesive tweet?
You make a good point. I hope we talk before the Christmas holiday, but thanks for calling today, President Trump.
Don't count on it, loser.
Breaking news this morning, at least. Greta Thunberg was named Time's 2019 Person of the Year. I just didn't have the courage to tell President Trump that while I was talking to him.
Yeah, he would have freaked out.
Good morning, Adam Hogue.
Oh, I can't believe I got beat out for that.
Yeah, first sexiest man alive, now this.
Ugh.
Speaking of breaking news, you have some?
Yeah, just a little bit, but I was told that the NFL has executed a 6-day flex window. Usually it's 12 days, which means, so yesterday we thought that the Bears-Chiefs game, which is week 16 on December 22nd, was just going to be a Sunday night game because usually that's the window and it passed by. But I was told this morning that they actually executed a 6-day flex window, which means they're going to wait to see what happens this weekend if the Bears beat the Packers or not to make a determination on week 16. So if you're traveling for the holidays around that weekend before Christmas, there's a chance that Bears-Chiefs game still gets moved if the Bears are eliminated this weekend.
So this is not about ratings because Bears-Chiefs would get a bigger number than New Orleans-Tennessee. It's about competitive and playoffs.
Yeah, that's why I thought this game would stay, because I figured, you know, even if the Bears are eliminated, you still got Patrick Mahomes going up against Mitchell Trubisky, yep, and Matt Nagy going up against Andy Reid. It seemed like the bigger game over New Orleans and Tennessee, but I think the NFL wants all these games down the stretch in primetime to matter, and there is a chance that the Bears get eliminated on Sunday.
All right, so going into this game against the Packers, we know that we will not see Roquan Smith. He's on IR. Akeem Hicks, good to go? Is that that kind of what you're hearing?
Yeah, the team is not confirming that at this point. They say he still needs to go through some final steps here. But, look, this is the biggest game of the season. They absolutely have to win. Akeem Hicks, we've talked to him now for last week and this week, and he says he's good to go. So I'd be completely shocked. I think it's a 99.9% chance that Akeem Hicks plays on Sunday at Lambeau Field. And it should help. Because they are a banged-up defense right now. We don't know if cornerback Prince Amukamara will be back. Obviously, you're down both of your inside linebackers with Danny Trevathan and Roquan Smith. Some solid replacements there, but we've seen what this defense looks like without Akeem Hicks. It makes it a lot easier to block Khalil Mack and Leonard Floyd. And don't forget, Leonard Floyd loves playing the Packers. 7.5 of his career, 18.5 sacks are against Green Bay. So that's something that they can unlock, and you'd like to have Akeem Hicks out there.
Seems like opening night was about 10 minutes ago against the Packers when we all felt like this is the year. Turns out it wasn't, and it isn't, but they ain't dead yet. Well, how are you feeling about the game?
I like the matchup. I think that this is these are two teams that are a lot different than they were in week one. And remember, it still came down to the final moments of the game when Trubisky threw that interception in the end zone and Adrian Amos picks him off. The Bears were a mess offensively that night. That continued on for much of the first half of the season. And they seem to have figured things out here in recent weeks. Trubisky's playing a lot better. The offense as a whole is playing a lot better. And meanwhile, that Packers defense was was lights out in September. They've slipped. They are especially struggling to stop the run, and the Bears' running game has looked better in past weeks. So I think that these two teams are a lot closer in talent and overall performance right now than the record suggests. And I honestly think the Bears, I like the Bears' chances a lot to win on Sunday.
All right, you mentioned the offense clicking in recent games. Does it seem like Matt Nagy finally conceded that he needs to move Mitch around the pocket a little bit and also encourage him to run from time to time?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've seen that in recent weeks. I don't know why it took so long. I don't know if the injury had something to do with that. I think that there was a desire to really develop Mitch as a pocket passer, which is understandable, but meanwhile the offense was sputtering. So Nagy got back to the things that Trubisky likes, and then in the past 2 weeks, lo and behold, unlocking some of those things that Trubisky likes to do has made him a better pocket passer, because a lot of these big plays he's made, he's actually just been hanging in there in the pocket, going through his progressions and making the right throws. And I think that comes from confidence. So I think he got his confidence back by doing the things that make him comfortable, rolling out, using his legs more. And meanwhile, that's just got him playing with a little bit more swagger and playing faster. The game's slowing down for him finally. And I think that's why Mitchell Trubisky's starting to be unlocked here.
Different feel at practice this week?
Well, they'll start out there on the practice field today, but having been in the building the last 2 days, you do feel like there's a sense of relief. I think that's a good way to put it, that a month ago, things were really dicey. I think there was a lot of self-doubt about Trubisky and about the offense and just the general direction of the team. And now I think they feel like, look, it's going to be a disappointment if they don't make the playoffs, and that's probably still going to be the case, but at least the future seems they seem to be on the track that we all thought they were on here, which was a 2 or 3 year window to have success.
It's Adam Hogue. Where do we read you?
WGNradio.com. And I will have a piece up either today or tomorrow on why there's a lot more to play for in these last three games than just the playoffs.
And what about your podcast?
That is up. Hogue and Johns. You can get that on WGNradio.com or wherever you listen to your podcast. Whatever app you use, it's there for you. We'll have a new episode previewing Bears-Packers tomorrow.
Sorry about the time person of the year, dude.
I know. I'm more upset about the sexiest man alive.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I was behind both of you. That's Adam Hogue, and we're back in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next. By the way, David Hochberg is sponsoring my New Year's Eve comedy shows.
Nice.
Yeah, so it'll be great. And we're doing a day-night doubleheader.
Is he bringing the food, too?
No, we're after the pop for that.
Okay.
But it's like a 1 o'clock and a 7 o'clock.
Oh, nice.
1 o'clock at the Rouse, 7 o'clock at the Tivoli. If there's rain, we'll do them. You have to make them up, I guess. Team Hochberg helped thousands of WGN listeners, and that's sponsored again by David Hochberg,
right.
Team Hochberg, and Homesite Financial. Homesite Financial, an equal housing lender. NMLS number 1124061. John, you have 10 seconds to sell yourself.
News click today. Should the Cubs get rid of Chris Bryant, how will you vote? Go.
No.
Mazur
no.
says no.
No.
Our news click yesterday. Do you like the idea that the Democrats are impeaching the president? We got a super big ton of response on that one.
Was it close?
The results after the news.
Oh, good tease.